Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Back to our regular programming, and we're turning our attention in the next 20 minutes or so to streaming services with our guest. You know, there are a lot of streaming services out there, more than just Netflix, and they're pretty much everywhere. TV, movies, music, podcasts, you can get them all through a service. And we're going to be talking about those services, what they are and what they offer and how to find the best ones for you. And a great guest for you, Beth D'Angelo, back with us. She's worked in IT for more than 20 years, senior IT specialist in UW-Madison's Division of Information Technology. And we'll talk about the ins and outs of streaming and take your tech questions as well. Do you prefer streaming services? What are they? What do you use them for? Would you like to know how they work? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Beth D'Angelo, welcome back.
Hi, Larry. Good afternoon. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, and it's going to be a short while with us together. We're going to have more time, I hope, in a future show to talk more about streaming. But before we get into the details, maybe just explain, what is a streaming service, and how does it differ from cable?
Great question, Larry. So that is really kind of the big analogy that we make when comparing streaming services. We think of what people used to have in cable TV, you know, a wire coming into your house that usually terminated at a box, a cable box, that allowed you to choose from a large selection of channels, and you paid your cable TV service provider for access to different packages of channels. Usually they were, 60, 120, 200 different channels, and they were all kind of bulked together in different packages that you could choose from. And since probably the last 10 years or so, there have been services popping up that I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of that stream the same content that you would normally see through your cable TV provider. So a lot of folks have been cutting the cord, as they call it, and getting rid of cable and joining onto these various streaming services to gain access to the content they're looking for. And rather than paying for a big bulk package of services, you can kind of pick and choose what you'd like to watch now.
Does it really save you money?
Well, it really depends. If you're very selective in your consumption of TV, movies, various types of content, and there's only specific things that you care to consume, then it can be a lot less expensive than paying for something like a cable service that gives you, you know, those 60 or 120 or 200 channels. So if you're really only specifically interested in certain types of content, you can save a lot of money by paring it down to that specific content.
Yeah, so that those are good advantages, I guess, for many people. Are there penalties for canceling a service like that?
Well, the nice thing about those streaming services is usually there's no contract. You pay a monthly fee in order to access it. So if you decide that you're done with it for this month, you can cancel your service at any time. There are services, though, however, who offer specials where if you sign up for a year of service, they offer you a discounted rate. So if you signed up for a longer term in order to get a discounted rate, you're not able to cancel early and receive a refund on that.
Well, that makes some sense. Let's talk. I mentioned Netflix earlier, but there have been so many new services in the last few years. What are some of the best in your mind?
Yeah, Netflix was really the first player in this game when they changed over from their DVD service, which is dating myself here, what I started with, and started streaming content to viewers directly through their internet connection. Netflix, being the largest and probably most popular, most well-known, has been losing quite a bit of market share in the last couple of years, though. And industry analysts are kind of chalking that up to a number of things. Differences in content. Netflix has not been picking up as many independently produced shows and movies as they are creating content that's produced by Netflix. So they're putting a lot of their money, reinvesting their revenue into content creation rather than acquiring independently created movies and TV. So if you like those Netflix-produced shows, that's probably the streaming service you want to stick with. But now we've got a whole bunch of other players in the game. Disney Plus is another huge one. That one is relatively new in the last, I'd say, 3 years or so. And that now that Disney has really bought up quite a bit of the major media producers in the country, they are providing quite a bit of content that wasn't available previously on streaming platforms. So Disney Plus, I know, is a very popular one. A lot of the premium channels that used to be only carried by cable providers are now offering online subscriptions to their service as well. So if you really, really like HBO, but you don't want to pay for cable, you can subscribe just to HBO through your internet provider. So that's a really nice way to get around having to have cable just to get content from HBO. And then there's also Hulu, Amazon Prime. They've been providing this service for a number of years. And then there are several smaller ones that are spinning up that encapsulate several various cable TV channels into one streaming service. So you've got like Discovery Plus, where you can get all the various Discovery channels on one streaming service, or something like Hulu that carries multiple different channels of streaming service. So there's a wide variety out there now.
I tried Hulu for a little while just to see when I was having some trouble with my regular service, and it was a little more, and I only had it for a few weeks. I just tried the trial, or it wasn't even a few weeks. And it seemed a little more, difficult to use in a way, or to get used to. I never really got used to it.
Yeah, the user menus were maybe not as friendly to navigate through as some of the other services that you're used to. And you know, I've seen something similar. Hulu kind of trips me up a little bit. They do offer updates to their interface pretty frequently. So, you know, hopefully with some new versions of that software, it'll get a little bit easier to navigate. But sometimes it is a little more difficult to find what you're looking for. And one trick I'm going to give to your listeners that the streaming services may not be happy with me for putting out there is you mentioned a free trial. So if you hear of a show that you're really interested in watching and it is being provided by a specific streaming service that you don't have, most of those streaming services offer a free trial, either a 7-day or a 14-day or a 30-day free trial. If you just want to watch that one show, you can sign up for a free trial, binge watch what you're looking for, and then cancel your subscription, and you've watched your show for free. So there's a little tip if you just want one thing. Now, you may not be able to do that multiple times on the same service. They may catch on if you're using the same email address over and over again, but it's just kind of a little handy way to get around paying for some of those things.
Well, and some services are free. Amazon Prime, I mean, if you're a member, if you have Amazon Prime, you get the video, or you get to use the Amazon Prime for ordering and delivery and all that sort of thing. But then you also get the service built in where you can, the streaming service built in.
Yeah, that's correct. They do have, if you are a Prime member, you automatically get access to all of their Amazon Prime content in their streaming service. Now, that's not all of the content. It's just those things that are deemed as eligible for Amazon Prime members. They do have quite a bit more content in their platform than only what's available to Prime members. And those are paid individually. So if there's a season of a show that you want to watch and it's not available through Prime, you can purchase just that season or just that episode. So it's kind of a nice pick and choose service if you want specific content.
Beth D'Angelo, our guest today, we're taking a look at streaming services, and you can join in too. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Trina LaSousa is our engineer today. Jill Nadeau, our producer, you're listening to the Ideas Network. We are looking forward to hearing what you have to say. We got an email from Mark. He uses many different streaming services at $5 to $15 a month. They make it very hard to cancel when you're no longer interested in them. any ideas for suggestions about canceling?
Yes, absolutely. I found this as well. And actually, a lot of subscription services are like that. If you have an account set up for auto pay, it's not intuitive to figure out how to cancel that service. So something I've taken to doing is actually setting up the payment for all of those services through either PayPal or Venmo. And one of those connects directly back to my bank account to withdraw the funds to pay for the service. But then I can actually go into my PayPal or my Venmo account, and it will show me all of the payments that I'm making by subscription. And if I want to cancel any of those payments, I can do it directly from that interface. So it'll just stop the payment, and that'll automatically cancel your service once they don't receive payment. So it's easier than having to call and wait on hold for however long they're going to leave you on hold for to try to cancel the service through the company's method.
Very good idea. Jerry in Green Bay. Hi, Jerry. Jerry, are you there? Maybe we lost Jerry. Cam emailed and was wondering if you could tell him why only one person one game he plays gets really sharp ping spikes. Is it in his internet? Is it their is it their servers? What would port forwarding help the situation? No other games do this, or streaming services have issues.
Yeah, well, ping spike is pinging is something we use in the networking world to tell how long it's taking for traffic to travel between spots on the internet. So if you're playing a video game with a remote server, so a server that someone else hosts that's not local to you, that internet traffic needs to travel between your computer and a whole bunch of hops in between your computer and the server that is hosting the game. And running a ping test between yourself and the address of that server will tell you if there's any latency in the traffic, meaning any slowdown in the gameplay or the route that the data is taking to get from point A to point B. That ping trace will basically show you if that's happening. And having a specific game that's causing that time that the ping takes to go from your machine to the server, if you see spikes in the amount of time that that's taking, that generally means that one of the devices in route between your machine and the server has some latency in it, some slowness, or there may potentially be some sort of misconfiguration that's happening. Port forwarding, I don't know if that's going to make any difference. That's really just going to make your traffic take a different encapsulated port route through the internet, but it'll travel through those same devices. So it's likely not going to change any of that ping activity. It may be a good idea to run something called a trace route. That's the command is T-R-A-C-E-R-T, trace RT, and that'll show you the different hops between your machine and the server, and it may show you which hop is actually getting that slow traffic.
Hmm. Phil in Marshfield, we'll go to you next. Hi, Phil.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, we subscribe to Amazon Prime, and just this last week, we selected a couple of movies to watch that were listed on Prime. And when the movies came up, rather than the Watch Now button appearing, there was a button that said, how to watch this video. And when I clicked on that, it said, you can watch this video through a mobile device or your desktop. And it won't allow me to watch it through the smart TV like it always did. Now, that's only for some selected movies. Other ones were just fine. I'm just wondering what's going on with Amazon Prime.
Okay.
You know, I'm wondering if the movies that you're seeing on your smart TV that it's not allowing you to play on there are not part of the actual Prime content, but are only eligible as paid content. What I was discussing earlier, where if you're a Prime member, they have a selection of video content that's available for free for members, but then they also have paid content on top of that that you can choose to pay for separately. And it may be that those paid options, that your TV may not be set up to actually order any paid content, that you can only view Prime through a different device that would allow you, or you could only view those videos through a different device that would allow you to actually purchase them.
There you go, Phil. I think that's probably true. Or you can be like me. I wanted to watch a movie on Amazon Prime, and I had to pay $5 to watch it. But I really wanted to watch it, and then about a week later, it became part of the regular free. So I spent $5 I wouldn't have had to spend. There you go.
Yeah, you change their content frequently, so if you want to watch it quick before it comes out of service.
John in Manitowoc. Your turn. Hi, John.
Hey, Larry. I just wanted to comment on, smart TVs are great and Amazon Fire Sticks are great, but the experience of watching a streaming service, Netflix, Amazon Prime, whatever, for me has improved greatly by switching to something like an Apple TV on all my devices. It's consistent in the menus across everything, and it's so much more responsive than my old Fire Sticks. If you're having a bad experience with Netflix, or I use YouTube TV all the time, it's so much better on something like an Apple TV. Granted, it costs $150, but it's way better for me.
John, thanks. A comment on that, Beth.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Fire Sticks can be a little bit laggy, and they tend to, after a couple of years, not function very well. I think the updates that they release for the software gets a little bit ahead of the hardware, and you need to upgrade those pretty frequently. So purchasing something that'll last a little bit longer, like in Apple TV, that you may be able to get more use out of, spending a little bit more money for that upfront will, free you from having to replace it sooner.
Yeah, good point, John. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, these services are served as a bundle sometimes, and that, I suppose, could be a good choice.
Yeah, some of those bundle services, especially the newer ones, there's something called Peacock out there that I'm sure some folks have heard about, and that is one that bundles up a whole bunch of, I believe it's the NBC affiliate channels, so NBC, NBC News, MSNBC, anything that their parent company owns, basically all of the various media outlets that are under the umbrella of NBC are part of that package. So any of the content that they create as a studio or that any of their channels put out is rolled up in that service. So that would be one that would cover quite a bit of entertainment content for folks.
John in Middleton asked if you could talk about the Roku service.
Yeah, Roku is similar to an Amazon Fire Stick or an Apple TV. It's a streaming media device, so that basically takes the place of having to have a laptop or a mobile device connected to your internet to stream the content. You connect something like a Roku or a Fire Stick to your TV, and then you connect that directly to your Wi-Fi or hardwire it to your modem to get internet access to the device. A Roku has a similar interface to a Kindle Fire Stick or an Apple TV, where it shows you the various streaming service applications that are on there that you can log into to choose your content. So if you subscribe to Netflix, you can log into Netflix through it. If you subscribe to Hulu, you can log into Hulu. There are various apps that you can download for it that will get you access to the different media platforms.
We've talked a lot about the video side, but what about the audio side? Can you talk more about the audio side?
And this is one that I'm much more interested in because I'm not a big TV person. So I'm a lot more dedicated to my audio services because I do listen to a lot of content. And my favorite is probably the most common, Spotify. I use that for my streaming service for music. I use it for quite a few podcasts. It has access to books, podcasts, music videos. The particular reason why I like it so much is because of a lot of the music features that are built into it. I'm a big audiophile. I love listening to music. I love learning about new music or new-to-me music. And Spotify is a way that I've learned about artists that I would have no way of knowing who they are or having exposure to their music previously because of the recommendations they make based on what I already listened to. So I find it very valuable.
Jerry emailed to ask, how does he view streaming content? Does he have to view exclusively on his computer monitor, or can he view on his TV like cable? And what's a smart TV? Oh, that's a lot to answer in a minute or two, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'll give you the quick version. So you do need a device to stream to. That would either be a laptop, desktop computer, your phone, a tablet, or you can get a smart TV or a streaming device. Smart TVs are basically a TV with a streaming device built into them, so you don't need a separate device to connect to it. But if you did need to go with a streaming device, that's just a piece of hardware that sits in between your modem that gets your internet access and your TV. You connect between those two points, and it's got all of those applications on it that allow you to connect to the various streaming content providers, the same as a smart TV would, but without that device in between.
And so are we going to have, I mean, they'll all be smart TVs eventually, won't they?
Yeah, I think they're going that way. I think most devices that we're going to buy in the near future are going to be connected to the internet in some way, shape, or form.
Well, on that note, we've quickly run out of time here, Beth, and I want to thank you so much for staying with us during our special programming and hanging on there until we could get to you. And I hope the next time we're on together, we'll have the full program to talk. Thank you very much, Beth.
Sounds great. Thanks, Larry.
Talk to you again.
Yep, have a great day.
Beth DeAngelo worked in IT for more than 20 years, a senior IT specialist with UW-Madison's Division of Information Technology, and loves to find creative solutions to problems. Tomorrow, we'll be looking at the latest cancer treatments and current research on new methods for treating. That's Tuesday from 11 to 12:30. In the meantime, I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.